If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you have the mindset of an entrepreneur, even if you haven't yet started a business. The problem with being an entrepreneur is that you have to wear so many hats. It's not just about creating great products or services. Finding the right tool that not only helps you out but simplifies everything can be a real game changer. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify can help you build a beautiful online store to match your brand's unique style. Shopify can also accelerate your content creation. They're packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/inspirational. Go to shopify.com/inspirational. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's talk was edited and adapted from Discovery of a Lost Trail by Charles B. Newcomb, published in 1900. The first step in healing or altering the conditions of existence is recognition of the sovereignty of self. The next is recognition of the sovereignty of good. The work is complete when these two principles have been identified. The windows of heaven are always open. It is our windows that are often closed. The Egyptian peasants used to fertilize their little tracts bordering on the desert by laboriously hauling up the water from the river with their buckets or wheels. They then turned it into the small trenches. But there comes a day when the great river rises above its banks, and in a majestic overflow wipes away all its petty barriers, and inundates the very desert itself, carrying opulence of fertility noiselessly and easily to all the surrounding country. If we stand upon the shore and watch its rising tides, we see that the waters find their way to every nook and cranny, and the dry sands are drenched in its floods and cleansed with its billows. These flood tides are irresistible. They are glorious in their power and beauty. All this is but a faint suggestion of the ever-present opportunities of the soul. Life is always at its flood, though our realization may ebb and flow. It is only we who imagine the ebb, as we wade in the murky waters of a shallow experience, indulging our self-pity and bemoaning our sufferings. If we cease our vain struggles and lamentations long enough to look away from the personal self with its petty cares, and to recognize the spiritual self with its calm confidence of inexhaustible energies, we realize that life is going very well with us indeed, and we are daily gaining the experience we need. We exhaust our strength and our impatience at our work and the conditions that surround us. There is nothing that comes to us which we could not do easily if we adjusted our energies, but we waste our forces in our worries. It is our leverage that is at fault. When that is changed, we will find the heaviest weights are easily raised. The mechanism of our existence is simpler than we think. none of its cogwheels are misplaced. If we will only permit them to work into each other where they belong, we will discover that there is no superfluous friction, and the adjustment of experience to need is truly marvelous. The propositions of Euclid would remain true if there were no mathematical professors in the universities able to demonstrate them. The Earth has been always round, even through the centuries when men of science declared that it was flat. It thus does not follow that a proposition in spiritual science is untrue, simply because we have never learned its demonstration. It is always true when we suffer, that like Peter in prison, we are, quote, sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. One chain is the thought of our own weak personality, the other is the doubt of the power of good. When the light has shone into our prison, and we hear the voice of the angel of truth, arise quickly, gird thyself and follow me. Our chains fall off. We pass safely through the first and second wards, and even the iron gate that leadeth into the city opens to us of its own accord, and we go out again among the people, freed from pain and disease, and strong in the might of the Spirit which has awakened in us the consciousness that all power is given unto us in heaven and in earth. When our suffering seems almost beyond endurance, we may always gain relief by making a bold change of front. This is considered the most difficult problem in military tactics when made in the face of an enemy, and it is often the most brilliantly effective move of wartime science. Instead of declaring, as we so often do in our mental anguish, I can't stand it any longer, let us assert with Paul, I glory in tribulation, I take pleasure in infirmities, I can endure all things. Let us agree with our adversary quickly, while we are in their way, and make friends of our adversities. Nothing else will so quickly disarm their power and neutralize their sting. Let us look at ourselves and all our paltry affairs through the lenses which put them far away, and bring the eternal soul into the field of our clearest vision. When we thus gain even a passing glimpse of our higher selves, the landscape of trouble seems misty and remote. We do not have to climb very far up the mountainside to get above the clouds and find a different world. How many an alpine traveler has passed from the drenching storm of the lower altitudes to see the glorious silvered clouds below them, and the sun shining in all its radiant splendor on the snow-capped peaks. It was only a turn of the road, and a few kilometers upward climb, that wrought the magic change. But such an experience can never be forgotten, for it brings a dream of paradise. The engine which moves the train so easily along its rails, when the power is applied to turning the drive wheels forward, can be quickly reversed by a very slight movement of the lever, and all its force thrown into a backward motion. By boldly and persistently changing our thought from the negative conditions of discouragement and suffering to the positive conditions of strength and life, the very worst case of anxiety can be quickly overcome. Nature abounds in curative power, and it is always within our reach. Indeed, it is the same force that is tearing our lives to pieces, and needs only to be reversed to drive us forward. We ourselves have built the roadbed of our own experiences and laid the rails on which we are pushing our engines ahead to a larger realization or backward into suffering. Let us know that the highest lesson of life is not to live in either the present or the future, but in the eternal. They to whom time is as eternity, and eternity as time, is free, said the old mystic Jacob Bohm, an aphorism we should all engrave upon our watch cases. A small boy who fell in the woods and hurt himself told his young friends, who asked him if he cried. He said, "Of course not. There was nobody to hear." Our troubles often show a seeming intelligence and leave us when we no longer notice them, and they find they have lost the power to annoy us. This comes when we cease to coddle or fear the personal individual and begin to cultivate the spiritual and live in the eternal. When we learn the meaning of the words, "I, the imperfect, adore my own perfection." In the beautiful allegory of Job, we find that after all material things had been taken from him, and he had learned that there was nothing to trust but God, the test was successfully passed, and his possessions were doubled from that hour. In ancient folklore, we are told of a flood in which all land passed out of sight, and Noah had nothing but his ark and the promise of a clean earth. But then the flood ended, the ark rested upon solid ground, and the new life was richer than the old. We read that Abraham was ready to sacrifice his only son, and when he had faced that point of self-surrender, the emergency of his life was safely over. To Job was returned his wealth, to Noah his earth, and to Abraham his son. When we are confident of our possessions, we are not tenacious of them. Fear is always a mark of poverty. Through willingness to surrender, we often gain a truer hold. If we would loosen our grip on life, we would always save it. It is idle to talk of faith in another life when we haven't enough faith in the passing day to carry us through a single hour without worry. Our faith too often ends with the limit of our eyesight, just as our appreciation of God's goodness is gauged by the size of our bank account. Every hour of emergency will bring its own deliverance to those who wait with confidence. The fears and sufferings which we encounter in one place are left behind as we move on. Why do we so often stop upon the threshold of divinity when we might enter its very courts? Why do we so often prefer to believe in the necessity of suffering and weakness rather than in the possibility of strength and gladness? Why do we argue so persistently for endurance and resignation, rather than accept the larger view of life which vests all power in ourselves and makes us the arbiters of our own destinies? Why should we cling with such surprising tenacity to our musty theories and dogmas, as if they were treasures from which we could not bear to part, though they have brought us nothing but sorrow and disgust with human life? How closely we hug our dark delusions, while we thank God we are not as naive as other people. How carefully we nurse our griefs and troubles, priding ourselves that we are practical in our bondage. Is there no way for us to climb to knowledge than through pain? Must we drain the dregs of the cup of sorrow, only to find at last that it was our own hand that pressed it to our lips? We have been often told that we should not grieve the spirit. Is it not equally wrong to grieve the body, the expression of the spirit? The highest good is possible only when we have established full accord between these two. When we cultivate thoughts of strength for others, we ourselves grow strong. Habitual thoughts of peace bring us tranquility. Thoughts of opulence will naturally result in wealth if rightly held. True thought will lead to action, but the power is in the thought more than in the action. Through all the weaving of mortal and immortal life runs the golden thread of spiritual consciousness. As we gradually awaken, we perceive that life itself is a perpetual miracle. The old legends are literally true. We sell our souls for a bauble when we deliberately choose the sensual above the spiritual and give it the reins of government. If here on earth we abide by principle, we will find here that we have built real treasure houses and filled them with precious things. Everyone is as good as they choose to be, but none so good as they know how to be. Our lives should not be governed by the opinions of others. When we are truly poised, we are indifferent alike to praise and blame. Praise is no longer sweet to the taste, nor is blame bitter. Nature is a bountiful nurse. The greatest assistance we can render her is to trust her to do her work. Her resources are not limited by our perceptions.